When you watch it being done, laying bricks looks really easy, doesn't it? I mean, the bricklayer just slaps some mortar down and plops a brick down and then like taps it with the trowel and maybe checks it with the level, and that's it. That's all there is to it, right? Anybody can do it. Nope. So the only experience I have laying bricks is actually laying cinder blocks on various mission trips that I've had the opportunity to lead over time. I've had the chance to lead 6 or 7 mission trips to Juarez, Mexico, where we built houses. Now, I'll use the term house very loosely because it was just 4 walls that had a roof, and there usually wasn't even a floor. It was just sand. And the walls were made out of cinder blocks. And no matter how many times I led these trips, I never got good at laying block. And got good is a loose term as well. In fact, I was so bad at it, I would usually try and find some other job that I could do. Like, I would be the wheelbarrow driver. Or I would deliver tools to people who were doing the real work. Or I would mix the concrete and the mortar for the people who were actually laying the block. Now, the people that we worked with, the teams that we worked with, they had project leaders that would tell us every step of the process of how to lay the blocks. And these project managers pretty much did most of the work for us, but they would tell us step by step what to do. One of the project managers I worked with many times was a man named Manny. And Manny was one of those guys of very few words. Plus, he didn't speak a lot of English. My Spanish isn't very deep, so we communicated mostly through gestures. And Manny would tell us everything to do. Here's how you mix the mortar. Here's where you should stack the blocks. Here's how you lay the blocks, and so on and so forth. But again, I could never get it until this one trip I decided I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to go slow. I'm going to be meticulous. I'm going to figure out how to be a master mason. So I teamed up with another guy on the trip by the name of Buddy. And Buddy and I decided we would work as a team and we would get this together. And so Buddy's job was to put the mortar on the brick, the easy part, and then I would lay the block. Now, I know that sounds easy, right? You just set the block down. But here's the deal. These are like 16, 17-pound cinder blocks, and you have to lay them just right. You have to be swift so that the mortar doesn't fall off in the process, and then you have to align it just right. And so we worked as a team, Buddy and I, and Buddy is one of those guys that never stops talking or singing. And so as we worked together, every time, right before I would place the block, he would say, "Now, I'm going to watch this side, you watch that side." For every block. All right? So, like, after 10 blocks, I thought he was kidding at this point, and I said, "Hey, buddy, now which side do you want me to watch?" And he said, "Well, that side. I'm going to watch this side." I'm like, "Oh, right, the side I've been watching all day." So anyway, we were laying our blocks, and we worked for 3 or 4 hours trying to get our bricks just right, checking it with the level, doing everything that Manny told us to do. And after 3 or 4 hours, we had laid like 2 rows, maybe 20 blocks. We were so proud of ourselves. And so we called Manny over to check our work, and he smiled. He came over, and then he picked up the level, and he put it up against our wall. And then he started taking the bricks off one at a time. Now, and he didn't just lay them gently down. He tossed them as if they repulsed him. He threw them into the dirt. And then he pulled off 3/4 of what we had laid. And Buddy and I just stood there with our mouths gaping open like that. And Manny just looked at us and he went, meaning our wall was pretty crooked. So in my vast, vast knowledge and experience of bricklaying, I have come to believe that it actually has very little to do with the bricks. The true work, the true skill is in the mortar. It's in all of the stuff holding it together. I mean, the mortar is what actually makes the form. It actually makes the structure the structure. I mean, without mortar, it's just a pile of rocks, a wobbly pile of rocks. The mortar holds it all together. The mortar is what makes a building and a wall, a wall. It's all about the mortar. And the mortar's hard. You have to get the right consistency, not like this sloppy goop that I just put together right before the service. It has to be the right consistency. And then you have to put just the right amount down. If you put too much, the brick will be taller than all the rest. If you put too little down, it'll be shorter than all the rest. And so you have to put the right amount down. It has to be consistent all the way down the line. The real skill is in the mortar. In fact, I think they should call them, instead of bricklayers, they should call them mortar artists. Because the artistry is in the mortar. I mean, Manny was an artist. If he put too much mortar down on the brick and he laid it and it was too tall, rather than taking the brick off and tossing it like he did ours, he would just lift it up just a little, slide his trowel in, take in just amount, the right amount of mortar, pull it out, and lay it back down, and it was perfect. Every single time. Now don't get me wrong. The bricks are important. You want to have good, strong bricks. Bricks that will withstand the test of time. But again, everything is in the mortar. Take our iconic red brick church building. This building's been here over 120 years, and we've had to do some exterior brickwork over the years to repair the bricks. But really, the repair wasn't to the bricks. It was to the mortar between the bricks. That's the thing you have to pay the most attention to. All the stuff holding it together, making it form and making it whole. So, this has become such an important metaphor for me. A metaphor of life. The brick and mortar life. You know, we form the foundations of our lives with all these various bricks. And we have, a home brick. A brick that is our home and our family. And this is a brick that we need to pay special attention to. Make sure that we have a good brick that is strong and sturdy because it is going to withstand most of the weight. And here in this home and family brick, this is where love is generated and kept. This is where we find comfort and security in our home brick. But there are other bricks that go along with it. We have a work brick. And in our work brick, this is where we find production. This is where we add value to the world. In our work brick, it gives us a sense of meaning often, and sometimes we even find identity. I would say sometimes we too often find identity in our work brick. And then, there are other bricks that go with that. That we have a social life brick, a brick for our friends and our relationships. And in this brick, there is joy and there is laughter. And when all the other bricks seem wobbly and insecure, we lean on this brick as a release to all the stress. That's our social life brick. And then, there's an education brick. A learning brick, where we find depth in life, where we are constantly reaching for newness and new depths in life. And this brick can provide opportunity. And this brick can even determine what your work brick is like. This brick, though, some people want to be really pretty because they like to show their education brick off. Am I right? And then there's our civic involvement brick, the brick that determines our political ideology, and it helps us know how to vote and sometimes what channel to watch. It's also the organizations that we're a part of, that we support, the ones that we feel are making our community better. And then there is a church brick. a brick about where we come to sing, to pray, to encounter the sacred, to worship with people who share our beliefs, and then also to relieve suffering through acts of mercy there in our church brick. And there are many other bricks that go along with this. There is a health brick and how we take care of our bodies, and a recreation and hobbies brick. And there is a brick for our travel and adventure, and a brick for even our food. For food is such a big part of who we are, what we consume, and where we consume it, and with whom. There are so many other bricks in our lives. And all of these come together, and they form a full life. They form who we are. But for the most part, these bricks stay self-contained. They are just that one piece of us, and there's very little overlap. I mean, our 21st century Western culture is really good at compartmentalizing our lives. And that we are almost different identities in different places. And that who we are at home is different from who we are at work, or who we are with our friends, or even who we are out in the community. These are self-contained. And there's very little overlap. I mean, there's some. I mean, as I said, sometimes your work brick is determined by your education brick. Or sometimes your political ideology brick informs who your friendship brick will be. And sometimes your food brick gets determined by what your family brick tells you it will be. There are some overlaps, but for the most part, our lives are these self-contained segments of life that have very little to do with one another. So this is where I want us to change this metaphor. This metaphor of life. Rather than just seeing our lives as a stack of self-contained single bricks, I want us to explore our faith as the mortar between the bricks. That which is holding it all together. I mean, more often than not, we view a faith brick as a part of our church brick. It lives over here in this church brick that we laid, and we come to church on Sunday, and maybe a small group throughout the week, or we take part in a service project. But when we leave, our faith stays there. We've done that. We've checked that box, and we can get back to the rest of our lives. But one of the things that we proclaim here in this church brick, and Brittany said it with the kids, that God doesn't live here in this brick. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is in us and with us in every part of our lives, in every aspect, every brick of our lives. God is a part, and we are connected. That the grace of God and our connection to the divine, it's not just a segment of who we are, but it's the mortar between the bricks. And this is what gives our lives structure. It's what gives our lives strength. It's what holds our lives together. And it makes us whole. That's the mortar between the bricks. This is going to be our theme for 2020. All year long, we're going to be talking about a brick and mortar life. We are going to explore how we are connected to God in every aspect of our lives. We're not going to talk about it every single Sunday in every sermon. I'm not going to poorly build a stack of bricks every week. But through various programs and various activities and even devotionals that we send out, we are going to be helping you all reflect deeper on your life. About how you are connected to God in every aspect, and how that grace of God is wrapping around you in every part of your life. The mortar between the bricks. Every month, we are going to take a different brick and reflect deeply on it. One month it will be our family and home brick. And the next month it may be travel and adventure. And the next month it may be how we celebrate together in community. Or it may be how we're learning together. But we're going to focus on that theme and then reflect on how God is a part of all of that. So that you can see that how your family and your home is connected to God, or how your relationships are more than just friendships, more than just getting together with friends, but holy connections. Or we can discover how our work is more than just what we do for a living, but it's our divine calling. It's our vocation. And we'll see how we take the values that we profess as followers of Jesus into our civic involvement and even into how we spend our money and what we consume. This is what we will be focused on as we go through the year. Now, I know some of you more skeptical cynics are thinking, oh, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me to be more religious. You want me to start talking about Jesus all the time, and I'm going to have to go to work, and I'm going to have to invite my coworkers to church, and I'm going to have to ask my friends if they know Jesus, and you're going to want me to do more, and I'm going to have to pray more, and I'm going to have to study the Bible more and attend church more and all of that. And as if we are just putting a guilt trip on you that if you don't do something religious, it's wrong. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. For one, we want you to think a little deeper than all of that. We want to go even deeper into this. And also, this isn't about being more religious. And this isn't about more. Because we already know how busy your lives already are. What we're trying to do is to get all of us to begin to reflect on who we already are. What we already do. What we already experience every day. And discover how God is connected to those things. Discover our connection to that grace that is loving us through it all. That is what we're trying to do in all of this. And so it's not about more. It's about figuring out where it already is. Paul says it in that scripture passage from Romans that Courtney just read for us. And it's very short, and we're going to use this as our theme verse throughout the year, so we'll be keeping it in front of us. And we're using the Message translation because it reads so well. Paul says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Paul is saying, take who you already are, your everyday life, the things you do all the time, and find how God is a part of those. And when you do, you will find your life is filled with meaning. That your life is filled with a greater depth. With a richness that wasn't there before. To stick to the metaphor, you'll discover a strength. You'll discover a structure and how you're being held together by something bigger than you. And then Paul goes on. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Paul is saying, don't just go from one brick to the next without thinking about it. Don't just go through life like the rest of the culture, just going through the motions, doing this and moving on to the next and not seeing how it is connected and how there's overlap and the divine connections that are happening are all around you. And when you do discover those things, you will be transformed from the inside out. It will change all of who you are and how you see the world. Again, it will create a life filled with depth and richness and meaning. It will take all of the parts of you and make you whole. This is mortar faith. Now, a brick and mortar life doesn't mean an easy life. doesn't mean that you won't have to work. It doesn't mean that there won't be pain and suffering. And sometimes you'll step back and you'll look at your life and someone will go, what it means is that whoever we are, whatever we do, whatever we face, we will find that connection to something that is making us whole. Something that is holding us together. That it is the grace of God that is the mortar between the bricks. Amen.